Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 12, 1897. Work for the Fallen, Summer Hill, Sydney, Australia, February 14, 1897. From LT83, 1897. Portions of this manuscript are published in EV 567 to 568, 4BC 1148, 11MR 156. The Lord has made known the duty of the people in Battle Creek, which was to move out to locate in districts where the truth had not been proclaimed. They could, as families, settle in towns and cities, then watch their opportunities and cry unto God for wisdom to know how to work. When they shall take up the work with humble, sanctified hearts, working in Christ's lines, by personal effort, they can communicate light to others. This may require self-sacrificing efforts, but it will be a blessing to them to be where they can do service to the Master. The people in towns and cities have not received the light, as God has repeatedly shown me they should have it. A firm, steady, earnest influence in living the truth would be the very work the Lord has given them to do. They could take up the same lines of work that you have been doing, in a limited degree, proportionate to their facilities, and the Lord would be their sufficiency. Nothing will or ever can give character to the work in the presentation of truth as that of helping the people just where they are, as this Samaritan work. A work properly conducted to save poor sinners that have been passed by the churches will be the entering wedge where the truth will find standing room. A different order of things needs to be established among us as a people, and in doing this class of work, there would be created an entirely different atmosphere surrounding the souls of the workers, for the Holy Spirit communicates to all those who are doing God's service, and those who are worked by the Holy Spirit will be a power for good in lifting up, strengthening, and saving the souls that are ready to perish. The Lord has not looked upon Battle Creek favorably, because they have neglected to do the very work which the Lord has told them was their duty to do. Through neglect of working in Christ's lines, a condition of things has been brought into the work that has eclipsed high and holy interests. There have been heavenly intelligences waiting for human agencies with whom to cooperate. Had they worked the works of God, they would have discovered human minds that have been once cultivated, but who have been buried up in self-serving, in dissipated habits, in intemperance, who with suitable encouragement will spring into their places. There are many of this class that will respond to the right kind of labor, but they need to be recognized and to have firm, patient, earnest labor given them in order to uplift. There are schools that may be established, not in the elaborate way of Union College or of Battle Creek College, but after a more simple style, with humble buildings, and then there should be teachers who will conduct them after God's plan, as nearly as they can understand after the school of the prophets. Their teachers should be men and women who not only have a knowledge of the truth, but who are doers of the Word of God. It is written will be voiced by them. Connected with the school, the missionary line of work should always be engaged in to help the class that are fallen, degraded, left wounded and bruised, and ready to perish. There will be found those who have once preached the Word and have been considered able ministers, who have failed because they did not see the necessity of strict temperance in all things. Objectionable, hereditary, and cultivated tendencies have brought them under temptations, and in the place of overcoming through the grace of God, they yielded and fell. There are men who have had high qualifications entrusted them of God, which they could have used to do service for the Master, but Satan spread his net for them, and they were taken in the snare. There are men of all kinds of vocations who have been overcome. I have been shown that the medical missionary work will discover in the very depths of degradation men who once possessed fine minds, richest qualifications, who will be rescued by proper labor from their fallen condition. It is the truth as it is in Jesus, brought before the human minds after they have been sympathetically cared for and their physical necessities met. The Holy Spirit is working and cooperating with the human agencies that are laboring for such souls, and some will appreciate the foundation upon a rock for their religious faith. Much painstaking effort will be required. There is to be no startling communication made of strange doctrine to these subjects, whom God loves and pities, but as they are helped physically by the medical missionary workers, the Holy Spirit cooperates with the ministry of human agencies to arouse the moral powers. The mental powers are awakened into activity, and these poor souls will, many of them, be saved in the kingdom of God.
The enemy has worked his best to prevent this missionary work being done. There has been A, going over the same ground, with the idea to help ministers to obtain a better knowledge of the Word, when these very men should have been working for souls that are in the darkness of error to impart the knowledge they have received from the Word. As they try to teach others, depending upon the grace of Christ to help them, searching the Scriptures as diligent students, they will gain by practice a knowledge of the Word, and their understanding will be greatly enlarged, as is expressed in the 58th chapter of Isaiah. Practice makes perfect. As diligent students, read the Word, be doers of the Word, and the Holy Spirit will be close by every worker. The love of God will be kindled in the soul of the one who is ministering, in doing the very work the Lord has appointed to be done in missionary lines. The servants of the Lord should have a high sense of the work to be done for a fallen world, in giving the messages of warning and the invitations to the great supper prepared for all to come to the gospel feast. The work of many will be first to show the tender sympathies of the Samaritans in supplying the physical necessities, feeding the hungry, bringing the poor that are cast out to their houses, gathering strength from God every day, that through His grace they may reach to the very depths of human woe and misery, and help those who cannot possibly help themselves. This is being fishers of men, and in doing this work they have a favorable opportunity to set forth Christ as crucified among us. Such labor entered into will form a heritage of light. We thank the Lord for the medical missionary work that has already been done, but there is a large army of workers that is to engage in the same class of labor in different locations in cities and the byways and hedges. There is more enlightenment to be given to those who are perishing in their sins. There will be very singular cases brought to notice, who need not only the necessities of physical wants supplied, which is essential as the first work, but to be brought in connection with sanitariums and homes that can present pure, correct principles for medical restoration. There are many who will catch hold of the hand stretched out to save them. Not only young men and women, but those of all ages will be found who have been dead to all aspirations, who will respond as hope and light flashes upon them, for the Holy Spirit is close beside the one who is ministering upon the human mind and the heart of those dead in trespasses and sins. And as a retrospective view is brought to mind that makes them burn with shame at the thought of the influence which they have been exerting, calculated to enfeeble weak souls by their practice and example, those who have been brought within the sphere of their influence, they see them enfeebled, dilapidated, without moral force, moral wrecks to communicate their evil practices to others. Parents' hearts are broken. Brothers and sisters and relatives speak of these poor souls as hopeless, but God looks upon them with pitying sorrow and tenderness. He understands all the circumstances which have led them into temptation, which have separated them from God. How can the youth of this generation escape the terrible dishonor of wasting their inheritance given them of God, selling their birthright as did Esau for a mess of pottage, betraying sacred interests entrusted to them for the blessing of humanity? They indulge in intemperate appetites, and through greed to obtain money, fall into dishonest practices. These poor souls need to be brought into connection with high, pure Bible principles. But first, the restoration work must commence in giving them healthful food and furnishing them facilities for clean bodies and clean clothing, and some sparks of gratitude will begin to flash forth. Then they are prepared to listen to you as you shall open to them the Word of God. You can bring them to Jesus, the great healer, the one who has given his life to redeem them. The Holy Spirit is cooperating with you in this working upon the heart, and the Spirit reproves of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. But if they are brought into connection with a people who will not leave the work incomplete, but will give them every advantage of personal labor, the image of God will be restored in many of these poor, forsaken ones, and God and the heavenly angels will rejoice over them with singing. Those who have never become enfeebled through the demoralizing habits can know only how to pity and love these poor souls,
through the love they have for Jesus, their Redeemer, who gave his life for these degraded specimens of humanity. They who have been redeemed by the sacrifice of the life of Christ, the only begotten Son of God, if they will be laborers together with God, will find a wide field open before them on every side, in which to do service for God. Not one need to be idle, and not one should be indolent and selfish now. If they have enriched and improved the beautiful inheritance given them of God, let them seek after the lost sheep to help the very ones that need help, seeking to raise up the fallen and bring them to a sense of the value of the talent which God has given them, which they have neglected to improve, but have turned to sinful account. Use the Word of God as the lever to pry them out of their degraded condition. Some you may find may, through faith in Jesus Christ, rise to the high places of service and be entrusted with responsibilities in the work to save souls. They have the advantage of many because they have had an experience, and they know their necessities and how to help them, and what means will be best to use to recover the perishing ones. A new career is opened before them. The light of a rich, new, and varied experience is gained through the knowledge that has been communicated to them, that Jesus Christ is their Savior, that He is touched with the feelings of their infirmities, and He understands all the strength of the temptations wherewith they are beset. For He was tempted in all points like as we are, and He will save to the utmost all who will come to Him for refuge. Every one of these souls, added to the force of workers, provided with facilities and instructions daily given in regard to the matter of how to save souls to Jesus Christ, the Bible being their guide, the Holy Spirit being their helper and comforter, can enter in as co-laborers with those servants of God who have helped them to rich measures of new light. They are filled with gratitude to God. They are quickened and their energy strengthened to lift up the unfortunate and fallen who can never rise without help. The piety and advanced spiritual knowledge and growth of a church is proportionate to the zeal, piety, and missionary intelligence that has been brought into it and carried out of it to be a blessing to the very ones who need our assistance the most. Again, I urge you to consider Isaiah 58, which opens a wide and extensive vineyard to be worked upon the lines which the Lord has pointed out. When this is done, there will be an increase of moral sources, and the church will no more remain almost stationary. There will be blessing and power attending their labor. The selfishness that has bound up their souls they have overcome, and now their light is being given to the world in clear, bright rays of a living faith and godly example. The Lord has His promises for all who will do His requirements. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon a bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. Psalm 41, verse 1-3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Psalm 37, verse 3. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Proverbs 3, verse 9-10. There is that scattereth, and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered himself. Proverbs 11, verse 24-25. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given him will he pay him again. Proverbs 19, verse 17. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Isaiah 58, verse 10-11. The Word of God is full of precious promises as the above. If we will enter upon the work, and will do according to the Word of the Lord, this would reveal, if acted upon, in every city, in the byways and hedges, a similar showing as has attended the work that Dr. Kellogg has been engaged in. It is the very work the Lord has specified should be done from the light the Lord has been pleased to give me.
The means which have been diverted from missionary lines to selfish indulgences has dishonored God. The bicycle idols have been a curse to the Battle Creek Church and have had an influence unfavorable to the advancement of spiritual life and energy in the church. It has counteracted the work the Holy Spirit has graciously done for the people, more even than ball playing and their other games. The missionary work has been neglected. The very lines of work which should have been done have been left undone, and selfishness and strife for the victory in swift riding has hurt the souls of many and has placed them in a most objectionable light. The money expended in these idols, if carefully and economically used, being invested in the interests of towns and cities to carry forward the work of God, would have been in accordance with God's will. Many places in Michigan have never heard the third angel's message. Right at the heart of the work, where our great institutions are established, there has been an influence extended in doing those things which God has cautioned them not to do, that has greatly lowered the estimation of the character of the work in the city of Battle Creek. There has been a fascination upon human minds. There has been a godless enthusiasm which should make them blush with shame, for there is missionary work, plenty to be done for the Master, but left untouched. The Lord has done great things for His people, but they have not appreciated His mercy, neither heeded His warnings. Ezekiel 20, verse 38 to 44. The Lord will not be trifled with, for He is God, the great and terrible God. He will punish for these things. Oh, what shall I say more? What words shall I trace upon paper? What words that will arouse the dormant energy?